This is Signal 337, the podcast for the innately curious and creative. Hi friends, this is Tim McKenna, and you're listening to another episode of Signal 337. Today is October 23rd, 2019, and it is about 10:30 at night. I am in my basement lair slash office slash music recording studio slash just storage room in my house, and I'm looking over my program for tonight, and I'm really thinking about how I want this to be very interactive, and I'd love to hear some conversation about it. So let's get into what tonight's topic is going to be. I just finished up my second class this week. I am teaching Web Design 1 at a local state school. Well, it's a local college. It's not part of the state system. I'm teaching a digital design class to primarily a traditional print-based graphic design program. I was asked about a year ago if I knew anybody in the industry who might be interested in teaching this course, and I was like, well, I am. I mean, what's the actual class? And all they had was a name, Web Design 1, teaching web design, and that was about as much as I had as direction. I had a previous course curriculum from a previous instructor that taught more of the design aspect than what I would say front-end development aspect of things. So that gives you a little context of what I do as an instructor. So I'm in my third semester now of teaching. I am teaching Web Design 1 for the second time at this local school, and I currently have a class of 12 students that are taking this class. And now it's mandatory for this program, but most of them don't phone it in, I would say. Most of them are actually very interested in web design and the other curriculum I bring to the class, where I touch upon user experience and design thinking, information architecture, content development. So I bring a lot to the class that's way above and beyond, but I think that is necessary. So that brings us to the topic that I want to dig into, is design education, where it's at right now, what it's providing for students, what it's providing to the industry, is it valuable, and all sorts of things. So I want to start there. And now that you know that as an instructor myself, I can share with you some context around my observations as well. So to be completely transparent, I'm an adjunct and I teach part-time, and I teach at night for, like I said, primarily graphic design students in a primarily print-based graphic design program. And I've been doing this now for a year and a half, and I have some troubling observations. Now, I'm not going to say that the program that I'm teaching at is a bad program. I'm not going to say that at all, because it isn't. I do believe that the program is set up to teach the basic fundamentals and the foundations of good design. So what do I mean by that? I think of visual design, typography, space, layout, color theory. The school does a very good job of setting up students to know those foundational elements from a visual design standpoint. Some of the other classes are a little bit more focused on print mediums. So there's publication design, there's a letterpress program, and there's a few other more print-oriented or branding-oriented classes. And this is all well and good if these students want to get out into the world and work in those industries, particularly advertising, marketing, And if there are still available positions in print mediums such as magazines, they would actually be in a pretty good spot to jump into those. But even the school and the department head herself shared with me that, you know, to prepare these students thoroughly for the industry, they're going to need to know how to design for the digital space and the digital realm, which was completely up my alleyway to agree with and also come up with a curriculum for. So I've been doing this now 3 semesters, and I have been noticing some troubling observations, trends. So just generally, a lot of the schools in the area where I live in central Pennsylvania are more of a traditional, old school graphic design program. And what do I mean by that? How do I qualify old school? Well, many of the tools that are being used are, I would say, during the first wave of digital design, meaning they were digital tools like Adobe's Creative Suite that helped designers craft better instead of being purely paper and pencil and other medium driven. Now they had digital means to create and execute their craft. So programs like Photoshop and Illustrator and InDesign are very heavily taught in the programs in this area. And I would assume and also probably bet a little bit that you're going to find that at many other schools, regardless of where you're at in the United States. The issues that I have with this, I would say, first wave of digital design is that it's still very primarily focused on a print-based medium, and the craft is still very much of a art-based driven kind of, you know, perspective. So with my college, they have blended art courses such as figure drawing and painting in with the design courses as well. And that would be a whole nother topic about art and design, but I feel like that's where a lot of the craft of some of this old school design is coming from, is still very much from an art perspective. And many of the schools see it as the same. Oh, you're an artist, you're a designer. That term is interchangeable, and that gives me severe agita because I see them as two very different disciplines and two very different titles and industries to work within. So there's that. And the technical execution of design is just as still part of like the craft of actually making things. And that's where I have some, like, I understand that. But when it comes to the digital realm, there is a obstinance that I've seen from certain programs, certain instructors, that they see anything digital as purely a technology-based approach, that design and craft don't really, you know, mesh in with digital. Digital is a means of communication purely to get your designs out there. And I just find that completely, you know, 180 degrees. Like, how do people get there? So the observations that I've made were students in my classes who, again, primarily print-based. I am teaching, you know, color theory, color usage for the web, typography for the web, and I get looks, you know, I get stares from my classes, from my students that look at me like I have 3 heads. I've been talking about the differences about typography for the web and how it's different from print. And I get some people to think that's incredulous and like, how can it be so different? I'm like, well, it's a different medium that you're designing for and designing within and using. So I run into a lot of students that aren't really prepared to look at digital applications or just looking at building websites and designing websites, they look at it as a print designer would, very fixed, absolute, and precise in a way. When I start to talk about, you know, variable typography and the differences with color and accessibility with communicating information and using color and type and these things, they look at me like I'm crazy. So that's one of the observations that I've made, is that design for the digital space is still kind of seen from old school print-based designers is like, we don't know what this is. This is a whole new language. So that is being translated to students, and when they would come into my class, I have to almost teach them to unlearn certain things and think a little bit differently for a new medium. So one observation that I've seen. The other thing that I've seen is that the dismissiveness of digital design is that digital design across, whether it's, you know, website design, application design, you know, be it, you know, whatever, if it's served up through the internet or through a computer, and it's something you interact with, that's not really design. That's technology, and that's something that we don't have to worry about at all. As designers, you know, we're focused on the craft and the marketing, advertising, branding aspect of things. And when I talk about how, you know, branding and building trust is also part of the equation of building a great experience, a usable service, or a website that delivers content, there's also a part of brand that comes into that play. And design, you know, some of my students are just really, you know, confounded by that. So they are learning it and trying to apply it, and then they're hearing from other professors that this is something they don't have to worry about. Now, my experience may be completely unique, and again, like I'm not talking ill about where I teach at. It's something that I've seen over time from students all across Central PA and in other areas. So I have met department heads and instructors at other area schools, and you know, I've met department heads and adjuncts and professors and in Baltimore and Philadelphia that have the same approach. I think the most different approach to everything I've seen is in New York and Boston, where I've met different professors from larger schools and, you know, different schools that have a digital design program, that have human-computer interaction, or other programs that are broad-based, more than just traditional graphic design. So I've seen those differences, but more often than not, I'd say probably 9 times out of 10, I run into more of the old school design execution thinking, you know, professors and programs. So I wonder and I fear and I question, you know, what is the purpose of, or what the value is of, a traditional design education at a college versus other things like boot camps or, you know, online learning through massive open online courses. And, you know, what is the value? What are people getting out of it? And how much is a traditional college-based design education still worth, or how is it valued in the industry today? So let me back up and share my own experience, because, like I said, this was near and dear to my heart, because I was also in these students' same shoes, you know, a little over 10 years ago. So let's go back in time, and let me tell you a story of when I was going through my program. So 2006 through 2010, I was attending Hushin School of Art in Philadelphia. It's now called Hushin College. So I was in a more primarily focused graphic design program. I wasn't a great illustrator, so I didn't even try. But I was in a four-year program for graphic design, and they called the degree at the time commercial art, which, again, in hindsight, gives me heebie-jeebies. So I had a very traditional, you know, education in graphic design, the history of graphic design, the executions, the different movements, the different players, all the different legendary names. I think I probably heard Polisher's name brought up every day my entire senior year. So I had a very traditional print-based foundational background. And in my senior year, I had an internship that I spent 2 days a week in Harrisburg with. So I actually moved back home to central Pennsylvania, and instead of paying money for rent in the city, I would exchange that for, you know, Amtrak tickets. And I would go take Amtrak 3 days a week back to the city, get into class, well, get into the city super early. Like, I would leave the train station at 5 a.m. I'd get into Philadelphia at 7, and classes didn't start until 9 o'clock. So I would get in super fucking early, and I would work on projects. I'd get stuff printed. Half my day was already over by the time classes started. Well, one of those 3 days during my senior year was a course on Dreamweaver. Not HTML, not CSS, not even the foundations of web design. It was purely Dreamweaver. It was a course that was teaching us a program without any of the fundamentals. I remember in 2009, 2010, so we had this course, and I knew even then that if I wanted to be successful in this industry, I would have to know some of the constraints of technology. I knew I wanted to get into web design, and the school didn't really provide that as a viable option at the time. It was more like, hey, here's this thing, go ahead and learn it. So I was trying to take whatever courses that I could by myself, you know, on LinkedIn at the time. No, I'm sorry, not LinkedIn. Lynda.com before LinkedIn bought them. So I was watching videos on HTML and CSS, not understanding one lick of it at all. But I was trying. And I was really excited for this Dreamweaver course, because I thought, okay, now I have a class where I can ask the questions about these concepts with CSS. Understand the concept of the structure of HTML and what certain elements do. But we approached the class basically from a drag and drop, make it look pretty in the editor, and don't worry about the code. And unfortunately, at the time, the professor who taught it, you know, he was in the midst of other professional development issues, and really this was not on his main priority to teach. So I knew that there was going to be a gap in my own skills. So I graduate in 2010 in June, and I already re-enrolled back to community college back in Harrisburg to take night courses specifically on web development, so I can become even more dangerous and more marketable as a designer if I knew how to write some basic HTML, CSS, and maybe some JavaScript. And even at the time, I didn't even know what the hell that was. But sure, sounds like I need to know this. So this was 2010. I was taking these classes. I spent the next 2 years, night courses, got an associate's on it. And, you know, I really came up through creating my own static sites, and then working with WordPress very early on. And, you know, fast forward to today, I am now working as a director of experience design, and so much of my work is centered on digital applications and services. So it's funny how my background in graphic design is used less and less each day, But the things that I learned during my time at Hushim was the value of a deadline, the value of having a schedule, communicating with my instructors, or in this case, in the real world, art directors or creative directors. I learned more of the intangible business skills during my senior year, during my internship, and with some of my lab classes than I had in the previous years with just foundational courses. So I look back at my own experience in education, and I appreciate my entire time at Hushim. I really do. I have learned the basics and the foundations of design, because when I came into that school, I knew jack shit about design. I knew practically nothing. And if you listen to the first podcast, I talk about how I got into this field. And I originally wanted to be the illustrator who drew monsters for Dungeons and Dragons. So design, I had no idea. So what I learned at school was helpful. And even before I left, I knew that I was going to have a skills gap to be more effective in the marketplace. And I took it upon myself to close that skills gap for myself. And I feel like I've done pretty well for myself. Not to pat myself on the back, but I've worked very hard to get where I am. And I think that if it wasn't for my, you know, my own gumption and, you know, wanting to, you know, make it in this industry, I don't think that I would have succeeded if I didn't have those things. And I really credit Hushim and some professors that I had there with lighting that fire and letting that spark in me. So that brings me back to now as an instructor and teaching design students. You know, I kind of went into it with a little bit of, you know, altruistic, you know, motives. You know, I had such a great experience when I was in college, and I wanted to make sure that I passed that on. I passed that along to others. I had made a promise to my favorite instructor, David Stensler. He was my design lab studio instructor. He taught me InDesign, and then he led a lab class that was very much like a design studio, where he'd give us certain projects, and he would treat it like we were the designers. He was the art director, and I learned so much from him. And one of the things he said was, make sure any good that you've learned, you pass it on. So when I came into education, I thought, okay, great, I'm going to do the same thing. I wanted to do that because I wanted to keep that going. You know, 100%. I didn't do it completely for those purposes, too. I'm getting paid, and that's great. And I don't have to worry about daycare with this class that I'm teaching, so it pays for it, which is great. So I'm killing multiple birds with one stone by doing this. But I don't want to phone in the classes. I want to make sure that I'm providing value and that I'm teaching students that are going to succeed in the industry. And I hope to bring as much knowledge and enthusiasm and help to their programs and to what their endeavors are so that they can be just as successful. Now, I understand that every student is very different. They all have different motivations, and they have different expectations of where they think their career is. But my observations have been that many students are kind of breezing through things and are not sure what they want to be doing, are not sure where they want to be landing up in their careers. They are taking the time to explore their ideas in college. And I have some serious concerns about that, because to take the time at college and explore as many ideas. On one hand, I understand that. I get that. If you're taking more of a general education, liberal arts background, you know, great, and then find something that you're passionate in. I get that. But that's an expensive time to be spending trying to figure out what you want to do. even if you think that you want to go into design. My observations with students that have come into design program is that they are creative by default. This is just who they are. They probably had a very, arts-based education in high school. They excelled in those programs, and they tend to eschew STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, mathematics. They want to be more creative, and they want to be able to use their abilities as creative individuals and turn it into marketable skills. So part of the problem I'm seeing already being set from earlier education, from middle school through high school, is that they're getting, tend to more often be getting a more arts-based background. So many of them are then sold on design as the more marketable art, industry to go into. That gives me a lot of pause and makes me very concerned. The things that I've noticed that students are coming into is that they're very creative based. They have a very different view of the world. They've had a very subjective view of art, and they are bringing that into design while it is more objective. And what I see is happening is that these students are also, they're kind of following their passion, but they don't exactly know where it's going to lead them. And you've heard many, self-help gurus and different talking heads talk about follow your passion, follow these things. And recently in the news with Forbes, and you especially read things on LinkedIn, is that following your passion is actually really bad advice. Because then if you're following a passion, you're turning it into work, and it kind of sours. So good example, I am very passionate about homebrewing. I love to make beer, and I would never want to do it as a job. I would never want to turn it into something more than I do a few times, a few times a year, that it's just fun. So I would never want to turn it into work. So a lot of these students are coming in like, oh, I'm very passionate about art, I'm very creative, I think I can make this into a career. And I say to them, great. Are you willing to deal with the bad days? And they're like, what do you mean? Well, design is not creating for yourself. Design really should not be viewed through a subjective lens. It should be viewed from an objective lens. So you are not creating for yourself. You are not creating for you. You're not designing for yourself. You are not the audience. You are creating work that is going to have real-world business effects for a client. Whether you work as a freelancer creating brand identity for small businesses or larger, if you're working in a marketing or advertising agency where you are creating creative output for advertising campaigns, integrated marketing communications, or even branding new companies, you're not the audience. Can you deal with client feedback? Are you prepared to go through several iterations of something to hone in on those things? Are you prepared to test your ideas with the marketplace? And when I bring this up, instantly I get stares and looks on the faces of students. I'm like, wait, what? No, I just want to create. I'm like, well, the painting class is right across the hall. Go have fun. I'm not going to teach you to make websites for yourself. I'm going to teach you the skills that you will need to be successful in the design industry, especially if you're going to do anything digital, which I always highly encourage all students in the design program is to be at least familiar with the base concepts. And whenever I say that, I get a lot of students like, well, what is that? And I talk about, visual hierarchy, information architecture, and, looking at just some of the base tools. I talk about HTML and CSS just being another tool that a designer would use along with Illustrator or Photoshop, and it was instantly a turnoff of the perspective, because they see those things as more technology-based. And I don't know where that irrational fear or indifference comes from. I sometimes see it from other professors who say that this is a completely different thing, don't worry about it, you're more in the advertising or the brand phase, you don't have to worry about that. And I say that's great if you want to do that work. Just think about your competition and think about how the industry is changing. So I recently looked at AIGA's 2019 design census, and I was looking at the industries where most designers are working in, and I think an overwhelming percentage of the industries, overwhelmingly, there was digital products and services. So out of all those who were surveyed, 8% of the total are in digital products and services. The next two biggest areas of concentration of designers were advertising, arts and entertainment, both at 7%. And then even above that, there was marketing at 9%. And then trailing behind that, there was education, social media, and food, beverage, and healthcare. I said, that's great. You know, there's some data that says that you're going to be working and you have, you know, a plethora of industries to get into. It's cool. But, you know, where's, you know, even the marketing side of design, even the marketing industries and stuff, there's a degree of digital applications, digital development, digital design. Looking at arts and entertainment, so I see that with game design or movies. So there you have motion graphics designers and people who are working more with video. And then I look at advertising and I think of, you know, the ad agencies that are creating marketing campaigns or creating brands, and, you know, increasingly they are specializing, or big companies are bringing teams in-house, and there is a lot of competition to get into that industry. The rest of the breakdown of the different industries include accounting, aerospace, agriculture, tobacco and alcohol, biotech. These are different industries that you're probably going to wear a lot of hats in, and you're probably going to need to have some background in digital design and digital applications as well. So, talking with my students earlier tonight about information architecture and its importance in the user experience of websites and applications, and it was very prominent to me that the students saw this as, I don't need to worry about that, that's content. This is way outside of design. Like, I don't understand this. And for me, I feel like I am trying to broaden the horizons of these students so that they can become more successful. But while I'm thinking of this, I'm thinking, man, this is difficult, because when they get out of school, they're going to be saddled with $60,000+ in student loan debt, or even worse, with, you know, 75 to 100. That's a albatross around many of these students' necks. And when I ask them what's their plans, you know, for after school, what are they doing now to get secure internships, what real world experience are they trying to get along with their classes, many of them, like I said, are kind of blasé, like, oh, I don't know, I'm just kind of figuring out as I'm going along. And I'm sitting there, you know, I'm like, okay, uh-huh, right. And inwardly, I'm screaming, because I'm just like, oh my God, this is very expensive for you to be kind of having this attitude. So I try to guide my students into the right kind of mindset of, like, those who help themselves you know, tend to have greater outcomes. So I have had some successes with some of my students, but this is a common observation. This is a common trend that I've seen around my area. So I worry for my students. I try to provide for the best education they can for my class, and I try to set them off on the right course of like how to find right jobs, how to prepare their resumes, and you know, some are doing really well. Those who've already graduated from last semester are doing really well, and they have found positions majoritively doing digital design, working as a junior web designer or working as a graphic designer. So they're still using that print-based knowledge, but they're also helping, you know, to update content for the web and working in that regard. So there's some digital aspects to it. And I worry about even those who have jobs and, you know, who are looking into growing and getting out of school, like how they need to be prepared for getting into an industry that is pretty competitive, I'd say, and would like to be able to do, you know, the print-based side of things that they've been so accustomed to in class, then having that real-world realization that I've got to pay my bills. I've got student loan debt that I have to repay. And do I have the skills? Do I have the ability to work in this industry? And I think that some of them look back on their education and think like, well, that I wasn't prepared correctly. And I wonder, is that the school's job? Is that the student's job? It's not very black and white. It's not as an easy thing to say it's one or the other. The onus is one on the other. I wonder, like, what can be done to improve design education? And I look at places like General Assembly, Career Foundry, Skillshare. I look at boot camps and I look at online, you know, courses, and they're very dedicated, they're very focused, and they are utilized and meant to help, you know, professionals who are looking to increase their skills or helping people who have no skill whatsoever go from 0 to 100. I think about, like, what are they doing that's working out really well? How can we bring this into traditional college-based design education? What would that look like? How would that change things? Would that mean more particular specialized degree programs? Does that jive well with a broad-based design curriculum? Are we learning from the industry? Are we learning from employers and what the industry is looking for to design a curriculum around the needs of the industry now? You know, these are questions that I would love to pose to a lot of people and love to get some answers and thoughts, you know, back on. But sometimes I hear that, you know, well, this is the way we've always done it, which is just the death knell. Can't understand. I hear that change and bureaucracy are too hard. And then I also hear that, well, it's up to the student to make their decisions and be proactive. And to a degree, I understand that, because just having a college degree does not grant you, you know, hey, I'm a newly minted designer. You should hire me. You should treat me like this already. I tell a lot of my students that even if you've had internships right out of college, you're still starting off at ground zero. No one owes you anything. No one cares that you spent 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, whatever your degree type is. No one cares that you spent that much time in college. Okay, maybe 1% of the industry really cares. But most majoritively, if a design director is going to look at the resume of a student or a designer who spent 4 years at a college and is a mediocre, you know, UI designer versus someone who's been kind of self-taught and has, you know, had many internships and apprentices and worked their way up and they have a stellar portfolio and stellar skill set, I'm in the position for hiring, I would actually go for the latter. I would go for that, you know, that candidate over the one who's got a mediocre, you know, portfolio and skill set but has a degree, because the other one is showing me that they know how to go out and get the skills that they need to be competitive. So I understand that some of the onus still has to go on to students. And what my approach has been is talking with students, finding out what they're passionate about, and trying to gear some of that passion into actionable next steps so that they have an idea at least of what they would need to do to make that idea of, like, I want to work as a poster designer, or I want to work in Hollywood, or I want to work in digital app development. Here's a roadmap to help you get there so that you can take it upon yourself. So I think there's a give and take there. So, you know, I see the boot camps, I see the online courses trying to bridge the gap for a lot of folks. I've even suggested LinkedIn Learning, Treehouse, Skillshare. I've suggested, you know, take your pick of these online courses. I've suggested them to students that after they've graduated, I said, hey, just because you're done paying for this education and you have a fancy piece of paper that says you did all the time, doesn't mean your learning ever stops. Utilize these things to help grow your skill set, because if you don't continue to learn and grow, you're going to be left behind. Your skill sets are going to atrophy or only be so focused and specialized that when it comes time for you to look for a new job or to start something new and different at your company, and you won't have the ability to do so, that puts you in a real big disadvantage. I understand that there's a give and take, that there's some responsibility on both ends, but my question for a lot of you is, those of you who are in hiring positions, how much do you care about a traditional academic background? Does it play a big effect in your hiring decision, or not so much? And for those of you who have gone through a traditional academic background, you know, you have the piece of paper that said that you did your time, and you have the student loan debt to prove it, you know, has your education been valuable to you in your career? And I really want to get some conversation around this. So follow Signal337 on Twitter, and I'd like to get, you know, some conversation around it. Let's do the hashtag design education. I want to do right by my students. I spend a lot of time at home looking at the curriculum, looking at my lesson plans, looking at my slides, looking at all my topics, and there's a part of me that is just really focused and really giddy. I just want to teach them all the things and teach them everything that I know so that they can go out and be like, you know what? I'm damn good at what I'm doing. This is why you should hire me. I want them to have that confidence that they are a design professional that understands, you know, business and how they can provide value to wherever it is that they're at. I want them to have that. I've experienced that myself, and I want those to also experience that same roadmap. But again, I understand that so many students have so many different paths they want to take. I just fear for those who get out of school, don't ever end up working in the industry for whatever reason, and they're haunted for 10 plus years of student loan debt, of something that's going to remind them, hey, you did this and you're not working in it. And I think that is just such a poisonous albatross around so many people's necks. So I don't know. I'm really interested to hear what your thoughts are on this, what your experiences have been, and I'd love to do a follow-up episode on design education and just share some of what your experiences are, what your thoughts are on the topic, and, you know, go from there. So as I am about ready to end the podcast, I want to thank you all for your time in listening to me rant and rave and postulate ideas around design education so late at night for myself. And I want to thank everyone for their attention and following Signal 337. I am going to disclaim that all the views and experiences, all the thoughts that I put out on this podcast are all my own. They don't reflect my current employer, my past employers, and I especially want to make sure that you understand that while I am in design education, I am certainly not throwing shade at where I teach. I, in fact, enjoy very much where I teach. I enjoy the program, and I think there's a lot of potential. I always just want to make things better than the way I found them. So I want to make that very clear. And next up, we are going to be talking about a few other topics that are pretty close to professional development conferences. So that'll be the next episode. So stay tuned. Thanks a bunch. Take care.